Good evening. How are we all? welcome to FPL Happy Hour, and it's live.
There it is.
There we go. Did that bit for Sham, who's off at the London Stadium. So I'm joined by this lovely man who's above me this evening, James. James, how are we doing?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. How are you?
Good. Over the disappointment of the last 10 minutes from last week?
Yeah, I prefer not to speak. let's just hope we have a better 10 minutes against Arsenal tomorrow night. That's all I can say. It was possibly the worst 10 minutes of football I've seen in a long time. And I've watched Aston Villa the year they got relegated with Mika Richards and Jolyon Lescott at the back. And on Saturday, it looked like Mika Richards and Jolyon Lescott at the moment, not when they were actually playing. Now that they're retired, they would have probably done a better job in that back line in that last 10 minutes. It was a shambles, mate, but could be worse. So, yeah, hopefully we just beat Arsenal on Friday and all will be forgotten.
Cool. Right, so what we're going to go through today, I mean, there hasn't been much by way of press conference news. That's all going to be pretty hectic tomorrow. I think the first press conferences probably kick off at about 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, and then they're all the way through till about 3 o'clock, and then you've got 2 or 3 hours, and then there's the deadline. So there's a bit of press conference news from Southampton and Arsenal that is kind of relevant. The rest of it's pretty irrelevant and unimportant from today's pressers. No injury news as far as we know from the Europa League so far, which I think sin. A lot of people jumped quite early on the Lukaku transfers this morning, completely forgetting that Mikel Antonio was playing tonight, and that could have gone horribly wrong for a lot of people, including myself, if I decided to make any moves early, which I haven't. But we'll have a look at that shortly. Then we've got our free hit team, which I took, extended my lead ahead of Sham and James. To five wins to three, I think it is now. I got my free hit team 82 points this week, which was good. Sham's team was just like 76 points, I think. I think it was the difference was Sanchez over Ramsdale and someone over Foden.
Big scores though for this week.
Yeah,
good scores for this week. Though.
Massive scores. Quite chuffed with that. My own like main team couldn't get anywhere near that. So
it's always the way.
What else have we got for this evening? We're also going to take a look at, because I know that a lot of people have been wondering whether to go for Harry Kane, Jamie Vardy, Ivan Tony, like three of the main names that have been bounced around through the Twitter community at the moment and in a few WhatsApp chats that I'm in. So I've pulled some stats for the three of them, and yeah, we'll just have a quick look at the stats and who we'd be, like, looking at the numbers, who we think we should be going for, rather than what I believe is a bit of a hype train, to be honest, on Ivan Tony at the moment. But yeah, let's have a look at the numbers and we can back it up a little bit. Cool.
Definitely.
Well, where should we go first? What shall we do first? Let's do the free hit teams. Let's get them out of the way, because that gives us a bit of discussion about the fixtures and our thoughts are for the game week ahead. So let's have a look at yours first.
Oh, it's me first again, is it, this
Yes.
week?
It's always the guest first, so.
I have to admit that when I built this team, I did have a look across at yours because yours had already been done, and I feel like there's quite a lot of similarity this week. I think there's some obvious places to go with the three hit teams, and I think I think a lot of the points that I cover will be ones that you will echo in your choices. So yeah, I started with looking at who were Norwich playing, and it was Chelsea, so that was the three
I have
players to
noticed one
pick
thing
up.
though. I've literally just
Go
noticed,
on.
and because I did it and then I changed it, you got four City players.
Oh yeah, I have.
We'll leave it.
Ah,
We'll
don't
leave
worry
it.
about it.
Like, Jack Grealish hasn't done
I
anything
haven't made
this
a
season,
shot.
so.
Grealish has been. How have I managed that? I must have changed
Well,
that to someone last minute.
you picked four City players. That's how you managed it. But don't worry,
Uh,
it's
we'll
all
we'll
right.
change.
Don't
Uh, we'll
worry.
change Grealish to someone else. So yeah, Mendy in goal, and I've got to take Ben Chilwell at the moment because he seems to know where the top corner is at the moment more than anything. And I'm sure now that I've chosen him, Marcus Alonso will start against Norwich, and that'll be a wasted pick. But that's the game we're playing. So Mendy and Chilwell for the Chelsea defence. I think I was going that those are, I'm hoping it would be the two of the most certain ones out the Chelsea defence, with Chilwell in such good form. But as I said, you never know. And then two Man City defence, Laporte and Cancelo. I think Cancelo was excellent in the Champions League midweek. Really impressed me. I watched that game, and he looked so comfortable either side as a defender. And I think last week we saw Laporte play left back, and he was back at right back in the league. And I think having a oh no, Ake went out to left back, so almost having three centre backs and then a wing back allowed him to get even further forward than he normally does. And I think that could be the case again this week. Moving into the midfield, Rafinha's had a week and a bit off. I think he'll be ready to go, and I think Leeds are desperate for a bit of a catalyst at the moment. And I think there's one man that drives that
Well,
team with Bamford
he's the
out, is
only man,
Rafinha.
isn't he?
Well, yeah, I
There's
see
not
Bamford's
much.
been put back again, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's not
Injury wise.
much going forward. For it's, I mean, you could say like Everton are in the same situation with DCL. Like the two of them, the injuries came at the same time, and they started off as, oh yeah, it's only a week or two, and this is now sort of 5 weeks down the line, and they still haven't played. And both are struggling to score, where
Yeah.
Everton have got Rondon and Leeds have got Rodrigo up front. I don't know
Yeah.
who's worse. I think I prefer Rodrigo over Rondon at the moment.
Oh, I don't know. I quite like a bit of Rondon. I think he's an old school throwback a little bit. I remember him at West Brom. I like a bit of Rondon, I have to admit. I think he's great.
He was
Yeah,
quicker back
so
then.
yeah, he was, and he also used to score against the Villa quite a lot, which was always annoying. But no, I do quite. I think he was a good bit of business again off Everton. And I think that's the Rafa effect a little bit. And then moving further into the midfield, looks like Kai Havertz is going to have to play up front for Chelsea, because if you can name another Chelsea attacker that's going to play up front, but I think Pulisic is still out, Ziyech is still out. I can't see who else is going to
I mean,
play up
Havertz
front.
has done that job so many times before for them as well, hasn't he?
At
Like,
times.
and he's done it well. Even when he came on Wednesday evening. I mean, I've only seen highlights. I was
Yeah.
busy crying and going crazy at the United game, but yeah, he's done that job, and he came on Wednesday last night, and yeah, it was put straight back into that role. So yeah, it's hard to look away from him really, as a Chelsea asset, as a like an attacking asset from them at the moment.
Yeah, and I think obviously Lukaku and Werner are a miss, but I think if there's anything that Norwich defence is going to struggle with more is actually pacing behind. I'm not saying they would have been able to deal with Lukaku physically, but if you were then looking for someone to play up front without Lukaku being there. I think you're always looking at that Norwich defence and thinking it's a little bit leggy, and someone to go in behind or someone to drag them forward almost as a false nine, like I think Havertz will do, and then bring in, you know, I would presume it's going to be players like Mount and I don't know who else will be supporting him, Callum Hudson-Odoi. You know, they're going to have to really have to be careful where Havertz is at all times, because I think he's, as a striker, he's one of those that can go both ways. He's either going to drag you one way or the other, and it's going to give opportunities for other players. So I've put the captain's armband on him. I think he's pure a return as well, and I think being the focal point of that attack against, let's be honest, probably one of the weakest defences we've seen in the league in a long, long time. Hopefully there's some goals there. My third Man City pick is Phil Foden, and my third and only Man City pick, there's not four, it's Phil Foden. He's come back in, and I think he looks 10% better than he's looked last season.
Yeah.
Again, I watched that Man City game and watched him last week as well, and they just look a different team with De Bruyne and Foden back in there.
Yeah.
And I think Foden at 8 million is one of those that if he nails down a spot, which is always hard because it's Man City, but that's incredible value for money if he nails down a spot in that team. And I can see him transitioning into being the false nine in that team as well with no striker. And at that point, you know, except for him being on penalties, there's not a lot more you can ask.
It's that, and I mean, thinking that like false nine, right, him and De Bruyne can drop in and out of it, that's, like between them.
Yeah.
Like they're and so fluid, the two of them.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a scary proposition. It almost starts to look like it makes sense why I didn't buy a striker, almost. But you feel like if you can get all of them fit, then, as you said, that interplay and that change, and, you know, the defenders think they're picking up Foden as the false nine 1 second, and then are picking up De Bruyne, and Foden's gone somewhere else, and Mahrez, Grealish, Jesus, Sterling, Torres. It's just
scary. It's just attack. full of movement. Their forward line, and yeah, it's gonna. I mean, Brighton aren't the worst defensively. No, they're one of the better teams defensively in the league. I can't see it being like some sort of rout. But then we thought that last week would have been a rout, and it wasn't. So this could be the one where they just suddenly completely switch it on.
I think there was three, if not four, more goals in that Burnley game. I think Burnley did well to come away with that 2-0.
Yeah.
Next up is Mbeumo. He's playing a bit out of position at the moment, the way Brentford are playing with that with a two up front, him playing off Tony. I see he's hit the woodwork seven times now this season already. Six, seven?
Yeah, six, I think.
The next nearest is on two. So, you know, it's just rub of the green that I think he's one of those at 5.5, especially this week against a Leicester team that still seems to be patching that defence together with Evans coming back. I know both Castagna and Pereira came back in the Man United game. I think there could be goals at both ends of that Leicester game. And I think Mbeumo is probably due a return. And then my last midfielder, for some reason it says Jack Grealish there. What it should say is Damari Gray. I don't know how that's got mixed up. I've accidentally put four Man City players in. I hold my hands up. I was trying to cheat the system and get a point back on this. No, it was a genuine mistake. But yeah, if we're playing by the rules, I'd probably looking at the fixtures. Let's target Watford, go with Damari Gray, especially with no Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin still away, and now Doucouré out as well for Everton.
Yeah.
There's not really a lot.
I think that's
a lot of attacking threat left,
I mean,
in that team.
I'm a Damari Gray owner, and I've got a lot of eyes on this game because I'm concerned about them without Doucouré. We've seen it at the start of the season, when sort of Rafa was kind of playing with the idea of pushing him into that number 10 role, and Then he took him out of that role. I think it was against, was it against Burnley? He started him as a like a full on centre mid, and then in the second half moved him in to that number 10 role, and the whole side just clicked in it. And I'm really, really worried, about how that injury is going to affect Everton. And
it's a long term one, isn't it? 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, it's a metatarsal. So I don't think it's going to. It might be. Is it going to be a Beckham Rooney esque recovery time, or is it going to be a longer one? It all depends on which metatarsal it is that's broken. So, yeah, it's
But even still, we're talking.
I think
we're
this side
near
of,
enough Christmas oh, now. Aren't
I
we?
Think. I think it'll. I doubt we'd see him this side of Christmas. I think that.
Really.
I think you'd be looking at. Sort of six to 8 weeks, so that's Christmas time, and then maybe a couple of more weeks get back into training and all of that. Then it'll probably be like something like the FA Cup will probably be his first start back. That could be, but then
middle of second week in January.
Yeah, you don't know the like different players take different lengths of time to recover. Oh, so right before we know, he could be back.
We've said it all before.
Yeah, he could be. I mean, I was saying Rashford wouldn't be. Back till beginning of December at the earliest, and he's banging in goals already. So there you go.
Yeah, and Werner and Lukaku will line up on Saturday against Norwich. No, I don't think they will. But I think while Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin are still out, I think Andre Gray, Damari Gray, and Andros Townsend have got to do a lot of the legwork if Everton are going to get anything positive out of those fixtures. So I think Damari Gray is one that's still a hold for now. I'm not sure on Everton's run after this, but seeing as this is the free hit team this week against Watford, I don't think Ranieri will see Christmas. Yeah. So, and then finally, the two up front, Odison Edouard, who looked really, really sharp against Arsenal on Monday night, I want to say.
Took his goal. It was like fantastic finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, looked really good. And that was in a Crystal Palace team without Wilfred Zaha, who I think's back, I want to say. I think it was just illness. They haven't said it's COVID or anything like that. So with Zaha back, I think
this Palace team is probably, like, I'd argue it's the best Palace team we've seen in the Premier League.
I think it's up there. I'd like to that team
with
the team the year they
Andy Johnson up front.
No, the more recent than that, when they had Johan Cabaye and Sacco in defence. That wasn't a bad little team.
Oh, like years ago, wasn't it? That was.
Yeah, they did all
I think
right.
This is more exciting.
Season, didn't
I think this.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think.
Like
Edouard,
I think we're
going to
see
Elise, Eze.
I think we're going to see some brilliant, brilliant football matches out of Palace this week and this year. And like on Monday night, it was a brilliant football match, and they should have won it. They got unlucky in the end.
And to be fair to them, they've had one of the toughest starts to the league out of all the teams, and they're 14th. I think that's where we would have put them at the start of the season. That kind of. Mid-table might be looking down, might be looking further up, but 14 would be happy. And they've had a tough start, to be fair. They've played a lot of good teams, and should have had three points at home to Brighton. Should have had 3 points against Arsenal. That's 4 points they've already dropped. And if you give them those 4 points, they're top half with the start they've had, and now the games they're running into. I think they're as you said, they're going to be an entertaining watch. So I went with Edouard against Newcastle. I think Newcastle's just, if it was possible for Newcastle to become an even bigger mess at the moment than it was, I think it's going to take a while to turn that ship around. And it looks like, I'd be shocked if there's going to be a manager in the dugout against Palace. If it's true that is it Francesca's now the favourite?
I think there's some murmurings going around that it'll be announced by the weekend. So, but it won't be in charge at the weekend. It'll be,
Weekend. It's the Graham Jones.
So it'll be next week that he'd be in charge. But yeah, it's, I mean,
Yeah.
at the end of the day, the players are still the same players, and it's,
Until January. And
yeah.
that's yeah, I just think it's a I think it's a
And
bit I
it
think it's a
still
bit
won't
of a
be a,
mess at the moment.
yeah, and it still won't be a whole new team there. I mean, yeah,
No,
I think
and
it's,
come January, they might need to be they might need to be fighting fires in the case of trying to stay in the league before they worry about anything else, because they looked dire against Tottenham. They really did. I think Tottenham were unfortunate not to put more past them. And moving on to Tottenham, that was a nice transition into my final player, and that's Sir Harold Kane. He's come back from his, well, normally he just has an August hiatus from goals, but he's come back from his August and September and most of October hiatus. Saying that, oh no, he didn't play tonight, did he? He didn't travel to the Netherlands. I see Tottenham got beaten again in the Rugby
they
League.
sent the seconds out there.
Yeah, and they've been beaten again, but I think Harry Kane, he looks a bit better, as I said once again, it was only against Newcastle, but it's Harry Kane at the end of the day. Are we expecting him to blank for much longer? It's like Mo Salah, isn't it? It's almost inevitable that the hauls are going to start turning up, and when they do turn up, they're normally double digit hauls at FBL. It's not normally one goal, it's normally two and a three bonus points or a goal and an assist for Son. So yeah, Harry Kane is my last pick. I think West Ham, I haven't seen the West Ham team from tonight. I presume they've gone fairly full strength, so I presume West Ham might be tired from the weekend.
Cool. All right, let's, well, I don't need to talk much about my team because as we said, it's relatively similar. So yeah, I've got Mendy in goal as well. Cancelo the same. I've gone with
You haven't
Diaz
got
as
four
well.
Man City players. What are you
No,
doing?
I did have
Oh,
four Chelsea, and then I realised, who did I have
that's what it was.
as an extra
I must have
Chelsea?
looked at yours.
I think, who did I bring in as an extra Chelsea? Or did I have four Man City? I might have had Foden and De Bruyne in there. So yeah, Cancelo, Diaz, Digne, Chilwell. I wouldn't be surprised if those five defensive players all come away with clean sheets. Rafinha, like, yeah, Wolves still look leaky, as you said. Leeds look like they need some sort of catalyst,
Yeah.
and he's the man. De Bruyne, starting to hit a bit of form now. Was it goal and assist last week, and he got an assist the week before?
Assist. No, he wasn't back. This week was the first week he was back, wasn't he?
Was
Was he
it?
back the week before? I bought him in. I bought him in this week for my team. Let me. I will have a
I
look.
think, yeah, he got a
No,
return in
you
his
are
first week
right.
back. Got a
Yeah,
return
he
in his
got a
first
goal
week.
and. He got a goal and a bonus point against Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then against Burnley, he got three bonus points and the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, Havertz captain. I don't need to talk much further about that. And then I've gone with Saka, who in the press conference from Arsenal today seemed to get the all clear. I mean, I had him, and I've got Mbeumo and Hwang as well. That, like, I could have, like, if the news went wrong, I would probably just switched them around. And then up front, I've gone with Edouard. Like yourself, and I've gone Jamie Vardy over Sir Harry. Yeah, Jamie's got five goals in the last five. He gets rested in Europe as well. Brentford, as you said earlier, I think it'll be a really another high scoring game for Leicester. Both teams bad, like, not great defensively, but pretty good going forward. Just should lead to goals. Like, kind of what I said about with United and Leicester last week. Yeah, it's a screamed goals, that fixture. So yeah, I've gone with Jamie Vardy. Almost went and stuck the captaincy on him as well, when I saw that you'd captained Havertz. But I can afford not to take the risks now. Yeah, being in the lead. And it's the first week that I've gone with like a bench that's got like all playing players on it. Last week I think I had Davis from Villa and I had someone else, just to sort of keep the numbers down. But yeah, we managed to make something that, yeah, I think this was like 99.2 million. So yeah, quite happy with that for a free hit team. And oh, James is gone, so I'm just going to carry on. Right, what were we looking at? Evening Penguin and Geek. If you get some questions in, we're going to have a little chat about some forwards shortly. I don't know where James has gone. He's disappeared. So yeah, get those questions in, and we'll be trying to answer those last minute dilemmas. Right. I'm going to wait for him to come back. See if he comes back. Nope. Not at the moment. Let's quickly go through my team and my plans for next week, and those in the chat might be able to point me in the right direction. So this is how I'm lining up this week. So I've gone with Gaita in goal. Ignore Luke Shaw because that's where the question's going to come in. I've got Cancelo, Rudiger.
I apologize.
He's
Someone's tripped
back.
the internet. Someone's tripped the internet. I'm on the personal hotspot. I don't know how long this will like hold up. I might have to run downstairs again.
No worries. So I've got,
Sorry, I cut you off mid-sentence.
so I've got, I thought I'll just go into my team, because that's something I can do by
Technical
myself. So I've got
issues.
Gaeta, Cancelo, Rudiger. Ignore Luke Shaw for now. Gray, Mount, Salah captain, and Sarr. Juan, Antonio, and Ronaldo. And a bench of Sanchez, Veltman, Benrahma, and Tsimikas. Now, I could easily just go Ronaldo and Benrahma out and bring in Jamie Vardy and Kai Havertz. But my thinking is I have Mount, I've got that Chelsea attacking cover,
Coverage.
more or less there. A lot of people are taking minus fours, minus eights. I've seen minus 12s kicking about from those that have used their wild cards.
Madness.
I'm sitting there going, oh, I've still got my wild card, and I haven't got any real fires to fight this week for the first time in a few weeks. So why take a hit when I could just go Luke Shaw to either Kyle Walker or Ben Chilwell for this week, and then I've got an all right team sitting there, I think, for this
So you've
week.
only got one free transfer.
One free transfer. Originally, I was
I'm just
thinking, I was running on. I think I woke up this morning. I was like, I'm going to jump on this Kai Havertz hype train and, like, yeah, all aboard and on. Like Ronaldo,
Have
yeah,
you
let's
got
get
any
rid of
money in the
Ronaldo.
bank?
I've got 1.1 in the bank, which is that
Oh,
can
so
get me Luke
it would be
Shaw and up.
doable then. I was just thinking if you took a minus four, you're not tempted to follow me to Kevin De Bruyne. I'm thinking Benrahma up to De Bruyne, and then you'd have to do Ronaldo down to Tony,
Tony,
or you'd
yeah.
probably be able to stretch it a little bit more. But unless you
I did
went,
have a look at
there's not.
going, Ronaldo to Kane and then Benrahma to Havertz. I think I would have done that. I was 0.1 off. And I think I would have just done it
So
there and then if I could have had that.
you can't do that, but you could do Benrahma. I think it's Foden's less than Havertz. Not tempted by another Man City attacker, or do you just don't want to run the risk?
Just don't fancy running the risk on City.
Not even De Bruyne. Not even if I know.
It means taking a hit to bring De Bruyne in.
But do you not?
And I think this is a good
do you
week.
Not think,
this is because so many other people are taking hits. I think it's a good week
not to
take a hit because I'm giving myself. I'm where I've taken hits in the last two or three weeks. I've taken a -4 each week, and I never planned to take a hit this week. The plan was
My rationale was Kevin De Bruyne's more than likely going to get you more than 4 points. That's why I did it last week, and he obviously returned 11. What are the odds that he doesn't get? Even if he doesn't get a return, all he's got to do is get a clean sheet against Brighton, and that's 3 points just for turning up. And that was my thinking. And
in the chat, we've got go on.
I was about to say though, that's a big geek with Ronaldo to Iheanacho is now one that Leicester have gone back to the two attackers is someone that tempts me. I think he's going to be the one that if I hadn't gone to Vardy, I would have probably moved Jimenez up to Iheanacho this week.
Does it not concern
if you? If Werner hadn't been.
With Iheanacho though, my only concern now is Daka. Because I think Vardy's nailed. I think it's that second striker role that
I think Daka scored four.
Oh yeah, but it was against Spartak Moscow. Yeah,
but I think Iheanacho's form end of last season. I think Rodgers is one that he's not going to. I know he hasn't played him, but
it buys him some time. Like if he doesn't hit the ground running, he's Rodgers isn't going to go. Oh, you're rubbish. Get out. He's going to give him a bit of time Benrahma.
I think Rodgers is one that's a little bit more kind of set in his ways and a little bit more loyal to his players than other managers. I don't know, as great as Jamie Vardy is, I don't know how many managers would give so many minutes to a 35-year-old anymore. I think Rodgers is really loyal to that core group that he's had now since he's been there, really, hasn't he? And as I said, the way Iheanacho finished the end of the season, it's just been a system change that's cost him his place more than anything this season.
So Ronaldo to Iheanacho, Benrahma to Mane. My only issue with Mane is why go with Mane when I could just go to De Bruyne?
Yeah, I think De Bruyne's one on a fixture point of view now. I mean, Man United Liverpool are against Man United, Man City against Brighton. You know, with your wild card still in hand, you're probably only looking at what another 4 or 5 weeks maximum before you're looking to play that.
Six weeks.
Okay, so over a 6 week stretch.
Game week 14 or 15 are wild card.
So 5 to 6 more weeks. Man City's fixtures are going to be better over those 5-6 than Liverpool's, I feel like. And I don't know what Mane's ownership is. It's probably as low as De Bruyne's, if I'm honest.
Yeah, but I don't think he's even... I think, is he even in our top five?
I doubt it.
Scroll through in a second.
I can find you Mane's, but yeah, I'd be with you. There's just no... De Bruyne's at 3.5%. Mane is at 3.3. Yeah. I think a lot of that's been bought out of, and it's another talking point that's going to become interesting. Did you see the Africa Cup of Nations news today as well? That they reckon they could miss.
Boxing Day. It's Boxing Day, and then the finals on February the 6th. And then if there's still quarantine rules, which there will be come February.
8 games.
So then you'd be looking at if the team made the final on February 6th, played, then if they flew back the next morning, that's February the 7th, they'd still have to quarantine. So you're looking at mid-February by the time their back and allowed to play.
And just to put that into context, with Liverpool and Salah, the games that he would miss would include Brentford, Crystal Palace, Leicester, Burnley, and Norwich. And you start to think, maybe get an injury just before Christmas, Mo, because we all still want you in FPL.
Egypt, no, he'll still go.
Want to go away.
He'll still want to go away.
So that'll be interesting to see what people do at that time. I think all I say is I don't think Kevin De Bruyne will have 3.5% ownership in January.
Oh no,
I'll leave it at that.
I'm 99% certain that Luke Shaw will become either Walker or Chilwell at some point tomorrow. Have a quick look at the fixtures.
Either of those.
Both pretty nailed, but I think it's going to be Chilwell purely because, yeah, the Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley fixtures in the next three. And then, yeah, City, you'd argue, you've got the slightly harder fixtures with Brighton, Palace, United and Everton.
Chelsea's definitely the way to go. It's just, as you know, they've got Champions League and Carabao Cup, you know, and things like that coming up. It's Chilwell and Alonso. I would say Chilwell is ahead in the pecking order at the moment, but would we be shocked if Alonso starts on Saturday?
That's some avenues that came through, because I know me and Sham touched on it in our discussions about Chelsea and him potentially using his triple captain chip this week. That's gone in the bin now, funnily enough. I'd like to say it was all down to me convincing him that playing the triple captain on Lukaku this week wasn't a good idea, but I think it was mainly down to the fact he probably won't play. Well, he won't play. We spoke about the possibility of a triple game week because of the Club World Cup, which has now been moved to mid-February. So I think as long as the Club World Cup doesn't clash with any domestic cup, so right. I think it will generally be, by then it'll just be the FA Cup. So as long as it doesn't clash with an FA Cup game, and Chelsea then went all the way, I think there's potential that Chelsea will get a triple later in the season. There hasn't been an exact date set of when the triple, so we could potentially see a triple game week for Chelsea because of where they've decided to rearrange the Club World Cup for. Like, they could easily just do it at the end of the season.
But we've got to start the season early next year, haven't we? Because we've got something in Qatar in the winter.
Something that they can do it over three or four days. Just do it at the end of the season. Get it done with
Were the teams not decided by the time Chelsea had won the Champions League last summer? Could we not have just done it
Teams have still not been decided. Because
it's just nonsense.
I think it's Oceania. I think they still have to supply their winner, and that final isn't till the end of November.
What's the point of them turning up? They'll just be the whipping boys.
It'll be Melbourne City or something like that, and yeah,
they'll be the Norwich City of the bloody whatever that competition is. Nowadays, it's just ridiculous.
Let's have a look at your team. How are you shaping up this week? You've already made your moves, so let's.
Transfers are done. So obviously, I haven't been here for a while. So last week, as I said, Kevin De Bruyne and Timo Werner came in for Ronaldo and Mason Greenwood. That was for a -4 because I only had one free transfer. So De Bruyne returning with 11 points and Timo turning up with 2 as usual. 13 points out of them. I know Greenwood scored, but I think I was still just a net positive from the -4. Obviously, Werner getting injured this week forced my hand. A lot of my planning this week was to move Luke Shaw onto a Chelsea defender. When I looked at it, it was probably, I think originally this week I was always going to take another minus four because I think the points returns are there. It would have been sure to Chilwell, which was, I think I needed, I think it was a half million up, and then Jota to Mbeumo, which is like 2 million down. So that would have left me 1.5 million in the bank with Werner still up front, which was then I was just starting to try and drag some value in out of my team to try and get my idea was to try and get Werner back up to one of the premium forwards, be that would have been probably Kane, Lukaku or Ronaldo. But obviously the Werner injury put a stop to that. So minus four taken again this week, Jota to Mbeumo and Timo Werner to Jamie Vardy. As I said to you earlier, I had to do that last night. I was spot on with the money because Mbeumo got a price rise last night and he's supposed to get one again tonight. So it was one that I wanted to leave till tomorrow just to hear if there had been anything, but it was one of those where I had to do it. And as my team sits at the moment, realistically, Eric Dier and Luke Shaw are two playing substitutes. So if someone doesn't pull through, then I'm not too worried. I mean, I've got 13 players that are all playing, and as much as Man United's defence has been poor and it's against Liverpool, even if Luke Shaw turns up and gets me a point, it might be better than nothing. So,
well, all he has to do is stick across like the one he did last night in the box.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it.
And then defend. And then defend Mo Salah.
And not get a yellow card. Which, that's frustration at the moment with Luke Shaw. He's picking up fucking yellow cards all over the place. Picked up another one last night in Europe.
From the international games, my goal is always to be get rid of the Man United players, and I was able to ditch two of them last week. And as I said, Luke Shaw would have gone this week. The fact that I've still got no Chelsea coverage is starting to worry me. Obviously, I think the damage is lessened by the fact that there ain't going to be a lot of people unless they've taken a minus this week to get Havertz in. They're going to pick up a lot of attacking returns from Chelsea now, and if I miss another clean sheet this week, and then with no money in the bank, I guess it'll be Luke Shaw to, I don't know which one of the Chelsea defenders is in and around there. I know Christiansen, I think Thiago Silva's roughly that price. To be fair, I'm not really at the moment that averse to taking another minus four again next week and just keep taking the hits when the points are there to be taken. I think I need getting a Chelsea defender in against Newcastle next week. A clean sheet is the 4 points you've spent on him. So I think while everyone else is taking hits, it's probably not a too bad a idea. So I kind of had a plan transfers wise, and those have all gone out the window and hit the wild card early as hurt as well. So as I said, 2 weeks of taking hits, but I don't think it's massively bad. And as I said, I've really got 13 playable players still. Everything I read, Charlie Taylor has been training all week with Burnley, and against Southampton with no Armstrong. I'm going to leave him there, and then if Eric Dier comes on,
everyone's jumping on. Then Broha. Eric Dier comes on. Broha. He's gonna score a hat trick this weekend.
I jumped on Charlie Taylor after the international break when they played out a 0-0 against Norwich, and he got me 3 bonus points and got me a big 9 points straight off the bat. And since then, he stayed in the team because he's a hero for that. But yeah, short term moves at the moment, really just trying to
just tick along, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, I would prefer to have some money in the bank, but needs must at the moment. But I think realistically, it could be the fact that if it wasn't for Luke Shaw next week, I'd probably roll a transfer And it's just out of a luxury, hopefully, with everyone still fit, that I'll be able to move to a Chelsea defender, and that's a better option than Luke Shaw, really.
Cool. Just on a note, Mbeumo isn't going up tonight. It was just last night, but tonight...
You lied to me.
Ivan Toney may go up tonight. According to Fantasy Football Fix, he's 0.4% off. 4.4% off going up. Chalobah, 2.9% off going up. Then De Bruyne is going up tonight. He will be a 12 million player tonight.
What a hero.
Rafinha is going up to 6.7 tonight. Son is going up. And Jamie Vardy is going up. For those that are listening, in the morning, that's who's gone up last night for you.
Price Rise FC.
So you're due to gain 0.3 of team value overnight. There you go, sorted.
That's an absolute bonus. There we go. We'll be able to.
And you picked up 0.1 off Mbeumo last night. So yeah.
Yep.
Nice for you.
That's it. Luke will be gone.
Right, let's get those that are in the chat there. If you can get your questions in before we wrap up. Cheb Lehman said, Rom, Jota and Firpo out for Havertz, Toney and TAA for a -4. Captain band on James. Reece James? Wow.
That's
ballsy. Who's your vice on? Who is your vice on? I'm assuming it's Reece James rather than James Rodriguez, because who's your vice on for that?
What other Jameses are left?
There we go. Big Geek, benching problem for this week. Ramsdale, Foster, TAA or Cancelo, Azpilicueta or Rudiger or Livramento. He's put his whole team out. Okay. Foster. Douglas,
Foster's on the bench.
Douglas Luiz, Gallagher, and Livramento.
Nah, not Gallagher against Newcastle.
He's not on. If Milivojevic plays, he's not on set pieces.
I'd go.
That was the whole lure of Gallagher at the start of the season was he. He's on all of the set pieces, but he's not.
Yeah, actually, the rest of his team's too good. There's no way I can get rid of. Yeah.
I'm not comfortable putting my 7.1 million defender, on the bench.
Ramsdale.
Cancelo's in like the best form he's had at City. Azpilicueta and Rudiger are playing the worst team in the league. And then Salah, you can't drop. Foden, you can't drop. Rafinha, you can't drop.
I guess the question is, who do you put first sub in case Azpilicueta doesn't play? Do you put Gallagher or Livramento there? Because I think of all the ones that we're saying, I'd go Gallagher. I'd say Azpilicueta. Yeah, I think Azpilicueta is the least certain, isn't he?
Yeah, I think
Rudiger plays every week.
I'd go Gallagher, right. Livramento, Douglas Luiz is my 1-2-3 on my bench.
Yeah. Well, that's a bit harsh on Douglas Luiz. He's a lovely young man. But yeah.
But yeah. I mean, he'll go and get a brace the weekend now.
Well,
and then
man's back.
Well, he'll score twice, and then 10 minutes to go, Arsenal will come back and they'll only score twice, and they'll celebrate like crazy. Forgetting.
No chance. We're scoring more than two. Leon Bailey's back. That's all I care about.
I know that. Back in. So I know I said that we had some stats. There's a couple of stats for you for anyone that is thinking Kane, Vardy, or Toney. If you've got that luxury where you could get any of those three, then. Big Geek, you both start Toney. Yes, I would start Toney over Gallagher, Livramento, or Luiz. This week.
Against that Leicester defense. I mean, if Man United can score, then Brentford will definitely score.
Yeah, I'd probably start him. I mean, if you're looking at who we're benching first, that's Gallagher. Would you start Tony over Gallagher? Probably would.
I guess the question, the point could be made. Livramento clean sheet
And then
against Burnley.
against Burnley, I mean, that's the other one. I mean, that's the potential 6 points that you could be benching. Just bench boost. Save yourself a problem and just bench boost.
Headache. It's triple captain Ivan Toney, and then you don't have to worry about it.
No, I think you kind of have to go with the striker on that on this occasion, or the midfielder.
Yeah, there's always the higher ceiling
From the
out of the striker,
striker.
isn't there?
Whilst Livramento, if Burnley score, then it's desperation there. And then Gallagher, I think, I'm just disappointed with Milivojević coming back in and taking all the set pieces, because
Yeah, there's
Gallagher
enough
was.
creativity in front of Gallagher that the open play attacking returns, I think, will dry up as well.
I think he's a good player to have in your team because he's so cheap, and he will play week in, week out. He will pick up like in the right fixtures, like this week. Like you'd play him quite happily over most other players, but not over Salah, Foden, Rafinha, Vardy, Antonio, or Tony this week.
No chance.
So let's have a just a quick. So just done a quick comparison between Kane, Vardy, and Tony. Vardy, obviously the most points, get their best value, like so points to price, 5.3. Tony very close in value behind him. Vardy on 7 goals with 1 assist. Tony 2 and 2. 23 shots. 11 on target for Vardy with shots on target percentage of 47.8%. Although Harry Kane has a better shots on target percentage, and if you think that, so he's played like what 100 and let's say 150 minutes, 160 minutes less than either of the other two. Like if you evened it up, he takes 2.7 shots per 90, whilst Vardy does 2.9 shots per 90. Where so it's fairly even, and he's hitting the target a lot more. So that tells me, like, backs up what you said earlier about Harry Kane. He's too good to, like,
I can't
just
be.
be
I
not scoring this
looking at
season. He'll
those.
still hit 15 to 20 goals this season. I'm fairly confident of that.
Look at those stats, though. It's bizarre that Jamie Vardy has gone so far under the radar until Lukaku and Werner got injured this
I think
week.
everyone had
I don't.
these headlights on Lukaku for this fixture this week, and nobody, everyone forgotten. Like, I think there's still the doubt over Vardy's age, and it's like how nobody ever starts with Vardy in their teams every single season. It's like, oh yeah, he's too old. He won't do it this year. He won't do it this year. He won't. I mean, the fucker just does it every single year. He just comes back and keeps
I
going.
mean, he's at 24% at the moment, but I'd like to have known what he was this time last week. I bet you in the last 2 days that's
So
gone
he's at
up,
24%,
what,
and
five, six?
well, these percentages were
You were
taken at
the
about
last.
6 o'clock this evening. So 22.4%,
He's now 24.8, so he's gone up
2.4 in
2.4%
the
in.
last like 5 6 hours,
So I bet you this week
four
he's gone up,
hours.
what, 10, 15%? I reckon he was less than 10% last week.
I think he was about 11 or 12%, I think he was.
So he's doubled. It's just ridiculous. So if we now say Werner and Lukaku are going to be out for a while, well, a couple of weeks, Ronaldo's and Man United fixtures are poor. You're literally left with those two men on screen for your premium strikers, aren't you?
I
Do you
mean,
think we're now going to see
look
the
at the
case
next
where
four fixtures
everyone's gone?
for Leicester, Brentford, Arsenal, Leeds, then Chelsea, and Vardy could return in all four of those, to be honest, because he's
Yeah,
thinking the guy is the he's the epitome of fixture proof.
Whereas Spurs have got West Ham, United, Everton, Leeds. Like, it's not a great run for Spurs,
no,
is it?
But after that game, that fixture against Leeds.
Theirs is incredible.
Spurs play Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley. Oh no, they've already played Newcastle. I think they play Norwich, maybe Watford and Burnley, or something like that. Like, they have a nice little run there, which is then when you could. A lot of people then plan to go Lukaku over to Kane or to Son. So yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah, that exactly. That's where I need to start finding my money over the next 4 weeks to do Vardy up to Kane, then, don't I?
So where were we on the old? So per 90, shot creating actions, Vardy and Tony both on 2.3 per 90. Goal creating actions, 0.4 per 90 for Tony. Non-penalty XG, we can actually use non-penalty because all three are their team's penalty takers. So and we'll just go then per 90 because obviously Kane hasn't played that much. 0.61 per 90 for Vardy, 0.32 for Kane and 0.19 for Tony. XA, 0.31 for Tony, 0.24 for Kane, 0.09 for Vardy. Basically just says Vardy is still playing as like a proper number nine. Maybe
and
even
as you
more,
said, fixture
maybe
proof.
Even more, yeah, maybe even more than before. So, I mean, Jamie Vardy, yeah, he leads the way in so many stats there. Interestingly, and like, I was having a look at Ivan Toney, some other stats from him earlier today. Out of everyone in the league, shots per 90. So what was he on 2.1 shots per 90? Where do you think that would rank him out of every player in the Premier League?
Probably.
Well, considering, okay, considering
Kane and Vardy are ahead of him.
Vardy is second.
Vardy is second with 2.9, 2.1. I was going to say, I think
oh, no, Vardy might not have been second. No, Vardy was 12th, sorry.
Yeah, I think 2.1 could be quite low. For everyone in the Premier League.
Should I give you a couple of players like I just know offhand that have more shots per 90 than Ivan Toney?
Well, I would think both Danny Ings and Ollie Watkins because I've been watching them.
Oh yeah,
Danny
they're up there. Ndombele from Spurs takes more shots per 90 than Tony.
Quality centre forward. One of my favourites.
Who's the rubbish right winger that always comes on for Rafinha? Was it Roberts?
Tyler Roberts.
Yeah,
I was about
Tyler
to say
Roberts.
Dan James.
He's higher ranked shots per 90 than Tony.
It's probably because he's coming on and having
Tony out of everyone in the league is 58th in the league for shots per 90. And he's something like in the 30s in the league for non-penalty goals, expected non-penalty goals per 90.
Where's his mate Brian Mbeumo? Probably right up at the top of his head.
I think he was in like the top 15 or 20 for both.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean,
doesn't surprise me.
I think this is what we spoke. I mean, this is a couple of weeks old. This is from the other day. We looked at Tony and Boomer, but yeah, I corrupted the video. And Tony, he meets a lot of the stats, he leads the way. But then goals per 90, they draw on. Shots and Mbeumo, 2.5 shots per 90, which beats him. Non-penalty XG, 3.7 total, like 0.49 per 90, compared to Tony's 0.19. Expected goal contributions, 0.58 to Tony's 0.5.
While Mbeumo's playing up front with him, there's no competition, is there?
And
with that million, well, 0.9 of a million saving.
Yeah. When Brentford do decide to keep a clean sheet, you're getting an extra point for Mbeumo. And for every goal, you're getting an extra point as well.
Probably on that case, the bonus points are probably more likely to come Mbeumo's way.
Well, no, if each of them scored, one goal, and that was the only thing they did in the whole game, it would be Tony that took away 3 bonus points. Because the goal is weighted more in the BPS system. The goal is weighted more towards the forward than it would be for the midfielder.
Even with an Mbeumo clean sheet as well, though, if they won like 2-0 and they both scored and then Brentford kept a clean sheet.
I think it's still Tony that...
Right, okay.
Because it's not weight, the clean sheets and the goals aren't weighted for assists.
Right, yeah.
And creative actions are the ones that get the midfielders the BPS.
Of course. I just think when we get back to what seemed to be the template 3-4 weeks ago where everyone wanted 2 premium attackers, then you're not going to have space for a 6.5 forward as your third one. You're going to be looking at a 4.5 bench filler, aren't you? And I think to still have that Brentford coverage, then Mbeumo's the clear standout for me at the moment. And I think, he's got to return at some point. He can't keep... Well, what's he on for if he hits the rate he's on at hitting the post? Six posts in 9 games. He's going to end up with hit the post about 30 times this season. It's just not going to happen, is it?
He's just aiming to cover every bit of woodwork that there is available.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it can't carry on. And you feel like he looks like the kind of player that once he gets one, he'll get 2 or 3. He looks like he's one that thrives on a bit of confidence, and I wonder, I don't know how he feels. Does he feel confident that he's getting the chances and he's hitting the post?
I think you have to feel confident. And I think once that, like you say, once that first one, like when it finally goes in off the post.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be an absolute dribbler that hits the post who comes off the back of the keeper or something, and that'll be the swing of his luck, or it'll be one that just goes over the line, and then he'll hit 3 or 4 in the top corner in the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Right, another question from Big Geek. Man United are not looking good right now. Who do you consider as a potential buy when their fixtures turn around game week 14? Game week 14, if we've sorted our fucking lives out, I'll probably triple up on them from 15 in my wild card. From 14, I'll probably have, at the moment, Ronaldo and Rashford.
I was just about to say, but I won't 15, have a wild card.
I think from 15, I could potentially be trying to squeeze Ronaldo, Fernandes and Rashford. It's a long way away, but...
Yeah, of course.
I think the way that Rashford has come back...
He looks sharp.
Yeah.
He looks really sharp.
And he's... I mean, this is what... Where Greenwood, what Greenwood should be doing, like last night, his goal last night, he's just run off the full, run off between the fullback and the centre half, who is trying to keep an eye on Ronaldo. Yep. Bruno's breaking in. And before you know it, you've got Bruno, one of the best passers of the ball in the league. If you look at KDB, Mason Mount, players like that, Bruno's up there with them. He plays inch perfect ball. And it happened in the first half. And he put it wide. And this time he got it inside the post, finished it. And I think if
Rashford's the one that's me. Not on wild card. I think Rashford will be the one for me.
Where there's that difference, like the Greenwood could have been doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks, but I think it's just Rashford having that bit more maturity to know exactly what to do.
I think the layoff will have done him. Yeah, and the layoff will have done him well.
He's come back, and he's fully fit for the first time in like the best part of 2 years.
He's been a good player at 75%.
Yeah.
What's he going to be like if he comes back?
Yeah, I can only see him getting better and better and better this season. So he'll be one United player that I'll probably get in before my wild card in 14. And before my wild card in 15,
You'd have to say at that point he's going to be the cheapest buy into that Man United attack that you'd say surefire when Rashford's back and some more time. Is Greenwood guaranteed over Sancho? Is Pogba going to have to go back into DM, or is Pogba going to stay in that attacking three behind Ronaldo?
God knows what could happen now and then.
You would feel Rashford's the more, you know, when Rashford's fit, he's surely the more surefire than Greenwood. And I don't even know what Rashford's price is on FPL, but he's got to be
about nine.
So he's three less than Bruno and Ronaldo. Hmm. You know,
yeah. As good as Bruno and Ronaldo, that fixture swing in 14-15, like you've got United, City, Liverpool. You're going to want into top fixtures.
You said about Ronaldo, Rashford, and Bruno. It's not going to leave you a lot of space then to get Salah or De Bruyne, is it?
No. It's going to be a fun world.
Whereas if you take Rashford with that $3 million saving. Maybe no Bruno, or one of no Bruno or no Ronaldo. You know, can you imagine a midfield of Rashford, Salah, and De Bruyne? That's the thing.
Right. If there's no other questions from anyone else, I think we've covered everything. We did the free hit teams, did our teams,
done the free hits.
We've spoken a bit about the forwards. That's about it. So
predictions, but Aston Villa will win. Man United will lose.
I called it earlier. I thought I'm going through 1-0 United Rashford.
Against Liverpool.
Yeah,
you're off your rocker.
I am off my rocker. I'm going to try Mo and Salah enjoy
will it. Turn Luke Shaw inside and out, and Harry Maguire won't know how to put his pants on by the end of the game. If Daka's beating them at the back stick.
I don't know. There's a worry in me, but there's always a hope, because in the past, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, where we've hit bad runs of form and then we've met one of the big team, like big rivals in the league. Yeah. And then they've turned it on for that game.
It's only 2 weeks till City, isn't it?
It's Liverpool. It's at home at full Old Trafford, where we haven't played twice in the previous 3 days. It's not going to be like the same result as the end of last season. So, yeah, let's hope.
My prediction is
for a good account.
Man United lose the next three to Liverpool, Tottenham and Man City, and Ollie's gone before Watford. There you go. I heard right. Steve Bruce is looking for a job. Get him in.
Right. Cheers, Big Geek. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for all your questions and comments in the chat. And the other guys that were joining us that were a bit quieter in the background, thanks for joining us. Right. So me and Sham are back next month. We'll probably record on Monday, so have it out Tuesday. Hopefully the sound has been all right tonight, because we weren't able to get the video out because I corrupted the video fixing the sound, and by the time I could get it fixed, it would have been just no point. You could have just listened to the podcast. Yeah, hopefully tonight that's all come through quite clearly for you, and I don't have to worry too much about recording next week. So we will have a poll going out with our community hot topic going out probably Sunday evening. We'll record on Monday, pod and YouTube video will be out Tuesday. Our pod normally be out Monday night. And then I believe Shams at a Halloween disco next week.
Next Thursday.
So it's you joining me yet again. And you can talk
spooky season.
Talk us through
FPL, so.
Arsenal versus Liverpool. We'll have a look at how we're shaping up. We'll have the free hit team again next week. And that's about it. So yeah, everyone, good luck with game week 9 of FPL. Remember, try not to make those decisions unless you really have to tonight to avoid the price rises, because there's going to be a lot of news tomorrow to try and sift through before the deadline at 6:30 p.m. British summer time. Is it 6:30? I think it's, yeah, isn't it 6:30?
Must be.
Yeah, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff. So it's 6:30 p.m. British summertime. Right. Yeah, good luck. Remember to like, retweet, follow, subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Twitter. You can find us at FPL Happy Hour on Twitter or under FPL Happy Hour on YouTube. And we're on all podcasts, Spotify, Apple Play, Podbeans, and all that jazz, which is what Sham likes to say. anything more you want to add, James?
No, everyone have a good game week, and that's it.
That's it.
Up the Villa. There you go.
Up the Villa. Whee! Right, cheers, guys. Good night.